B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bertrand, big news.
Job, Hardy.
You know what the big news is?
What?
VIP tickets for Pucks and Paddles? Gone.
See ya.
Sold out.
Sorry.
The second annual ping pong tournament that is happening, brought to you by Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich, benefiting the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It's happening Thursday, February 7th at Royal Boston. So if you want to just schedule this in your brain. It's the Thursday after the Super Bowl. That Thursday, February 7th, you could still bid to play double pong against your favorite Bruins player, Toucher and Rich, Wallach, myself. So we're all going to be there. We're all going
to
take part.
You have VIP ticket. Come on, I hang out outside VIP area.
It's
with
a
you.
Great event. The VIP tickets, I'm sorry, they sold out. We warned you. But you know what happens next?
What?
The general admission tickets sell out. So get yours now. Go to our website, get all the information, and buy your tickets. 985thesportshub.com. That's 985thesportshub.com. Those general admission tickets, just $50. So get it. Get it now. Get it. Come check it out. Great event for a great cause happening on February 7th. What?
Nothing.
You okay?
I keep pulling this thing.
I told you I'd get you a longer one.
Damn. Every time. All right, there we go.
You're good? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get back to your calls, but Zoe, if you are the Rams defense and you are approaching this game against Tom Brady and you've got Edelman, you've got Gronkowski you got to deal with, those I think are the top two options for the Patriots. Where do you put Aqib Talib in this game? He's not going to go on Edelman. That's not his type of guy. I don't feel like you're going to waste him on Philip Dorsett, are you?
You want to put him on Philip Dorsett? Might be able to. I mean, I got to go back to watch, you know, when it's Chris Harris Jr. and Talib in Denver.
Yeah.
Pull up some of the old Wade Phillips stuff to where they really messed things up for New England as far as that man press. They played man press, cover two, and then on third down they played robber against New England. It really screwed them up out in Denver. But you didn't have on, you know, they have a different type of front. They have big inside guys. So you got Sue. The big thing with Sue and Donald, they widened them. And they don't cover the center. They don't cover the guards. They're outside five technique, outside the shoulders of the guards. So there's a big hole in the middle. And I just wonder, if you're looking at that, if you're going to do run checks up the middle and you don't have a backer that could run. See, Denver, they came at you off the edge. And they had Trevathan, they had a young linebacker that could run and chase people across the middle. I don't know if Talib's the same guy he was 3 years ago.
Well, this is why I would ask, is there a chance he lines up on Rob Gronkowski?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I know Bill used him against Jimmy Graham back in the day when he was here.
Yeah.
And he negated him, and Graham was kind of nicked up on an ankle, too. I don't know if they respect Rob that much, but maybe they should based on the way it's been trended and how he looked last week. You know, the stuff down the boundary. Because Peters, you know, he's shorter than Aqib. Aqib's a bigger guy. He's long. He plays long. I could see if you take Rob and move him to the boundary, I mean outside, towards the sideline, I could see him taking Talib and putting him on him. This could be matchup man, too, or just two zone where you're going to stay on one side of the field. You're never going to flip. So whoever comes in your direction, you're going to take that guy man. You know, he's not over the ball looking, waiting. Wade likes to play a lot of man, though. I think he knows he needs to play man to bump New England off their routes. You play zone, Brady's going to pick you apart. Five-step quick, you play zone, I'm going to bang it in the holes. That's what he's going to do all day. That didn't sound right. You know what I'm saying?
Everything I read about this game being written at a national level is that because of the pressure that the guys up front will get on Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
that because of that pressure, the Rams will win.
Yeah. What'd Bosa say? Jesus, why do you get rid of the ball so fast? He's ridiculous.
Melvin Ingram.
Slap me on the butt.
And Bosa.
Melvin Ingram. Bosa. Keep going. D. Ford. Houston.
Who's the better player? Bosa, Ingram, or Aaron Donald?
Aaron Donald's inside, though. You could double him.
Isn't this the problem? Aaron Donald's inside, and he's a better player than either of those two guys.
So then it's on Brockers. Can Brockers win one-on-one?
Yeah.
So you got, and they'll move Sue around. Like, Sue's not necessarily going to stay outside of guard. They'll put him over the center. They'll flip him down over, put him on the outside. They'll kick him down inside. They'll flip formation. He'll go over to tight end. You know, Brockers is a guy that nobody's talking about. I'm like, who the hell's Brockers? He's the big guy. He's the big edge guy. He's the end.
We got an email from Scott who writes
Scott.
In.
Boom.
I don't know if it's that Scott, Boom. But it's a Scott. He says, Mark and Zell.
Boom.
Talking matchups. Watching Sue over the Rams last five games, he takes plays off. Doesn't hustle to the ball when it's away from him. Marcus Peters, in my opinion, is average. And both he and Tlaib are not guys who like to tackle or support in the run game.
Did you see Inside the NFL and watch the highlights from the NFC title game? Tlaib coming in and ducking when Kamara is running and just kind of whiffs on a couple tackles. He won't go down and tackle.
It's a good point. He also wants this question answered. In your opinion, does this defense of the Rams have the ability to be what the Giants' defenses were in Super Bowl 42 and 46? Rush 4, drop 7, and go from there. He says the similarities scare me a bit of the Giants. Thoughts?
Well, that's what's interesting because you look at what ailed New England and what failed them in the playoffs or a Super Bowl was the big four of the Giants at down front with Umanura. Who was that? Justin Tuck. I think Strahan was the other guy, and there was one more. Can't remember the damn guy's name. But they would go really wide like that 9 technique outside the tackles and sort of line it up the way the Rams do. And also Baltimore back in the day. Baltimore never blitzed.
It's also about the muddying the middle of the field.
Well, it's...
I mean, you can't let Edelman go free over the middle of the
field.
That's
what I'm saying, zone. You go zone.
The way the Chiefs did it a week ago.
You play zone, this ball game's over.
What if they don't?
Chiefs went cover 2 man and left the middle of the field wide open on 3rd and 10.
And what are the Rams going to do?
Not do that. You're going to play robber. I'm telling you, Wade's going to play robber. Single high safety, drop the other guy down over the middle, and just have him on a scan looking for anybody coming over the middle, whether it's Edelman or whether it's going to be Hogan. And he's going to take him. That's a double. That becomes a double. So now that's an inside out. So whoever's chasing, you're in man technique behind him, and you know you're getting middle safety help. So you'll turn a guy loose in the middle and just hope, and you're going to play the outside cut and let him take the middle cut, and that guy at safety that's coming down as the robber is going to pick up whoever's coming in the middle. That's how you mess up the middle. That's what Atlanta did in that Super Bowl that forced you to go outside to Hogan and Mitchell. So you better be able to win. And that's where Dorsett can be a big player in this game. Amazing. Here you are again. Thought it's Josh Gordon. Philip Dorsett has a touchdown catch last week, and he could have the type of game that Hogan or Mitchell had on the outside like they did in that Atlanta Super Bowl. So
I will say this. The Patriots have had some success against Wade Phillips and Wade Phillips' defenses. They've also had losses like they did against Denver, right?
Yeah.
When he had quite the team. I mean, the talent there, I think, was pretty damn good in Denver and could really get after the quarterback. But did you know, Scott Zolak,
what?
In terms of DVOA, the all-encompassing DVOA, that this is the worst defense by DVOA that Phillips has ever had in a game against the Patriots.
Interesting.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
That maybe it's just not as good of a defense as it's been given credit for, that Aaron Donald gets a lot of credit because of how good he is, and maybe the defense itself is not as good as the credit they get, and it's not as good as those Denver defenses that Wade Phillips had against the Patriots going back a few years.
Huh.
Something to chew on there, okay?
Let's give him something to talk about.
Why don't you think about that a little bit? And we'll get more into this.
You know what?
On the what?
I just noticed it's kind of a cool Super Bowl logo. They're almost set up the same. See how they're squaring off at each other?
Yeah, they're facing one another.
Sort of symmetrical.
Sort of symmetrical. Haven't had that in a while. Neat. Notice that? Like button.
Finally not playing a bird.
Shake and bake. You stupid birds.
Eagle.
Rams scary.
Falcons.
Although I think that Rams.
That Ram horn will mess your ass
that
up.
That Rams logo is sort of the reverse image. The Ram usually goes to the right. It would be like reversing the Patriots image. Going
Do we take some artistic license with that?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Looks good.
What's the difference between a ram and a bighorn sheep? Is it the same thing?
See, I've always asked that question.
Well, it's the mountain goat.
When you're out in Vegas, you know, you go out on the highways, they got those signs that say, look out for the bighorn sheep.
You see them.
That's like a ram.
Driving out to the Hoover Dam. You see them standing up there on the cliffs.
Yes, they're all on the side of the road.
Look at that. You ever watch, like, the ones that live on the edge of those canyons and stuff on Nat Geo?
Bill Belichick is coming up sometime around 11:30.
Hoofs are built for it.
We'll hear from the Patriots head coach live when he speaks.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Alec and Bertrand. We'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up in about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
He's scheduled for between 11:30 and 11:45, so we'll see. So, in reality, we'll hear from him 25 minutes.
Can I interject something real quick before I forget?
Absolutely.
The newscast that we played a little while ago.
Yes, Channel 2.
Toots and McGee.
Barrent.
Love him.
That, you know, the guy Barrent, who they were the
Barrent.
His name is Berndt.
That's trying so hard.
Berndt.
How many teachers did he have in the past where he's fourth grade and like, is Berndt there? Is he here today?
Berndt.
Pull up the picture.
What a freaking.
He looks like a Baron. Didn't.
He sure does. Looks like Doogie Howser. We got a live one here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good?
Yeah, I'm fine. We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
He's got a nice
reached out to Cole. Questions to the media have to be put in by email. Have not heard back from them.
Thanks, Baron. Maybe we'll see him media night.
Can't wait. Lawrence is in today. Lawrence.
Hey, how's it going, guys? What's up, Zoe?
What's up, Lawrence?
So, after Super Bowl 52 last year, I was talking to my friend.
Oh, so you were there?
He was kind of saying that, like, you could make an argument that the Patriots have somehow underachieved with the 4 AFC Championship losses and the 3 Super Bowl losses. And a year ago, after that loss, I said, well, if they get 6, that just totally goes off the table. That would be the cherry on top, and you'd never talk about the ones that got away. You would always just have enough to talk about winning-wise, and, I mean, that's enough to go on 2 hands. So I just wanted to, you know, get your guys' thoughts on what 6 does for the franchise as a whole. I think it's a huge one.
Okay.
They're all big.
I mean, sort of follow what he's saying.
Yeah.
That given – let me rephrase all this, if you don't mind. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It's a big one. We talked yesterday about the swing in Brady's record, right? The swing is a big one. 5-4 versus 6-3
I agree with that.
Is a big, big difference in terms of how it's perceived, how well you played in those big games.
Right.
I'm not going to hold it against him if he loses for his legacy. I'm not going to say that he's not better than Joe Montana.
No, but those national tool bags that have this agenda against him will. This will be more fire for them.
Right.
More gas for the fuel. Fuel for the fuel.
And I get it. We don't want that for Tom Brady. We all love Tom Brady. We know what he's meant to sports fans here and what he's meant to football in New England for a long time. Okay? We all love Tom Brady. So just this run, the Patriots run in terms of the total number of Super Bowls that they won. And this sort of goes back to a caller that called us a few minutes ago saying, will this make up for some of the ones you felt like they should have had and didn't win? Does this make up for, you know, losing in Indianapolis in 2006 and not getting to the game against the Bears? Does it make up for losing in 2007 Or does it make up for losing against the Giants the second go round? Any of these games. I don't know if it makes up for it, but the more that you get here on this back end, it just makes the era feel that much more dominant. Right? It feels like they've left some on the table. And you know what? I've started to go, I felt really strongly about that after, you know, 06, 07, in that sort of time frame, though, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right around there, that maybe they left some on the table, that they could have been better than they were. But then I look at the way, you know, you got to win in the game against the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 49. And I say, you know what? As great of a win as that is, this is not to take away from them or call it lucky.
Right.
But sometimes the breaks go your way. Sometimes you make a play, and one play is the difference. And if you look at that championship and you say, did the Seahawks stink? No. Sometimes it's just a razor-thin margin when you get to these games, how they're decided. And sometimes the Patriots have been on the wrong side of that margin. Sometimes they've been on the right side. And I think it started to balance out a little bit with their last two Super Bowl wins. But I think the caller's right. How many they get in total will sort of define what they were. What is everybody going to remember 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road? Pats won 6 Super Bowls if they win this one. Well, they won't remember all the details. They will remember the number. That's how I look at it.
Because they hadn't lost yet, people don't really... The John Casey kick, that's a kind of a lucky thing that happened to them too. But people,
they hadn't
lost yet, so people really didn't pay attention to that stuff.
Right. I love that Casey kick. I bring that thing up as often as I can. John Casey getting the yips, kicks it out of bounds. Thank you very much, John Casey. Thanks. Appreciate it. And that was a great team. I believe that was a great Patriot team. I think the best one was 2004. And they didn't leave. They didn't leave much out there. But even that game came down to the very end, right?
Yeah.
And I thought the Patriots were a much better team than the Eagles that year. They were. They were a much better team.
It's amazing it had to come down
to this game.
Donovan McNabb getting exhausted and thrown up on his
feet. Puking through his face mask. And he was still in it, though. That's the part that I feel sort of gets forgotten. It's like, oh, he's puking through his face mask. And we all love that, right? Yeah. We mock him. We make fun of him to this day. It'll never be forgotten that the quarterback was in the huddle puking through his face mask.
That gassed.
That was a 3-point win. It's not like you handed it to them.
Right.
3-point win.
Well, they had a quick
the margins are thin in this game.
It is. Look at last week.
At least when the Patriots have been in it.
Dude,
the margins have been thin. And I know that that's sort of a newer development for the Super Bowl, maybe over the last two decades, because prior to that, the Super Bowl was always a lopsided mess for many years. The Super Bowl as an event and as a game itself, the quality of the game, the quality of the Super Bowl has gotten so much better, I would say, over the last 20 years than what it was prior to that. You agree?
I agree.
It's a better product now. It's a better game.
Look at last week. You kicked Kansas City's ass. You had them in total domination at first half. 14-0. They make one play, and it's a one-possession game. 2 minutes. 2 minutes changed that whole complexion of the second half.
We're taking a quick timeout. Bill Belichick is set to take the podium in Foxborough. It could happen as soon as right after Hardy's headlines, so don't go anywhere.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
-779-0985. We're waiting on Bill Belichick. We've talked quite a bit today about a number of topics. Brady, his future. Is the league conforming to Tom Brady? That's what Colin Cowherd thinks. I disagree with that. And I think I'm going to put it at a 1 in 20, a 5% chance Brady retires if he wins. 9 Super Bowls now for Tom Brady. 617.
He's not retiring.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think any of us know that for sure, Colin. You're probably right.
Win or lose the Super Bowl, he's not retiring.
Just don't put it at a 0% chance, okay, Colin? Don't put it at a zero. 617-779-0985. Bill's going to speak for the first time leading up to the Super Bowl. First press conference of the week for him on the way from Foxborough.
Hopefully nobody asks about Hecker. We'll be here all day.
Oh, man, if they ask about Johnny Hecker, he is going to talk punting for days.
My money's on Reese.
Days.
Reese is going to do it.
David's in Burlington. We've talked about the Rams' defense today as well and what they're going to do against the Patriots. David, what do you got on that?
Hey, guys. So you were talking about Sue and Donald, and that's fine how we can take care of them, and I think we will, actually. But you're forgetting Dante Fowler, who they traded to pick up this year. And he's, you know, whatever he is, but he's a legitimate outside rusher. And he will get there a couple times if they let him. I'm just saying he's a distraction away from Donald and Sue. And then you were talking about the Rams defense being like the Giants defense in whatever year, but they're not anything like that because they don't have a linebacker at all. They have Mark Barron back there, so it's not really a good comparison.
Former safety.
Yeah, they have the line, but who? What? Barron.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a linebacker. That's right. Who they put back there as a linebacker.
Yeah.
So I don't see the comparison there at all.
Deal. I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, we bring Chung down. You bring McCourty down at times when they go big nickel. It's just to get another guy in there. It's a little more athletic than being a thumper.
But we still have Van Noy and Hightower in the middle there.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So it's not really – Barron is not a linebacker. We all know that.
But if you're going to go – see, and that's where, you know, you could have any advantage running the football here with guys like Burkhead and White and those nickel looks that you're talking about, you know. So it's going to be a good chess game. It is. You know, the back and forth. All personnel groupings. I mean – I'd rather have Barron in there if I was them, and if you're in that, you know, 13 set where you've got three wide and one back, that way you could chase people a little bit more with that guy than a regular backer.
Yeah.
I don't want our backers on the field. I don't really want Landon Roberts out there chasing people around on drag routes and crossing routes. That's tough.
Who's the other guy? They got Littleton, who's decent in the run game. So it's not like they got nobody. Now, but in terms of the quarterback, though, they've got that up front. They've got that advantage. They've got a defensive line that can play. We know that about them. And Aaron Donald is a scary, scary man. So when you go through the league right now, this is always a fun exercise. Who are the current NFL Hall of Famers in the league? Who are the guys that you know are getting in the Hall of Fame?
As far as defensive guys?
No, anybody.
Oh.
Right now, you go through the league. You know, who do you know has already done enough to get in and warrant getting in?
Yeah.
Not projecting, not what right. are they going to do? And it's, you know, quarterbacks, it's easy.
Yeah.
Brady, Breeze,
Gronkowski,
et cetera, right.
Know, Larry Fitzgerald.
But it is. It's harder with defensive guys.
It is.
Who are the locks? I think Aaron Donald is one of them.
It's so early in his career, too, though.
I think he's already, hasn't he already pretty much, like, done enough?
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Fame level guy.
Yeah. I mean, if he just does it for two more years, it's probably a lock, you know?
Right, I mean, he's at least close to it. If he's not there yet,
Tlaib's been in the league for a while. But I don't know. See, if Ty can't get in, he sure as hell can't get in. You know, it's another thing. We got Hall of Fame stuff next week. It's gonna be good. Everybody gets to make their case for
That's
their
true.
Guy.
That is true.
You'd rather have Ty in or Seymour in?
Ty.
I agree.
Ty's
more of a just yeah.
I think Ty's got the much better case.
Yeah,
to get in, really.
Where's Borges? They blow the dust off him?
Get out there. That's a good question. Is he? He's not writing. Is he still the representative for that?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
That's a good question that we will we'll try and find an answer out on that. I know Zoe. I know you're good friends with him.
I like Ron.
I just remember you guys had that run-in a couple of years ago.
Christmas.
He was calling your house.
Sensitive.
Calling your house number. I forget what that was about.
Something petty.
I remember him calling you at home. You're like, how did you get my home phone number? Kyle's in Methuen. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. I have one comment and one question about the Pats secondary. I think J.C. Jackson is going to have a big bounce back game this week. I think Bill's going to ride him like crazy over the next 2 weeks. And
Gotta let you go, Kyle. Bill Belichick is now speaking in Foxborough.
Just impressed with so many things that they do. It's easy to see why they're here. Very well coached. Very, let's say, offensively, they're creative, but they're very fundamentally sound, and they execute extremely well. Least penalties in the league offensively. They don't make many mistakes. They really do a great job of attacking defenses. Defensively, a lot of outstanding players. They got some good players at every level of the defense. Wade does a tremendous job with his scheme and the experience that he has. They turn the ball over very well with their fumbles and interceptions. They're very in tune to getting the ball off the offense in a number of different ways. And really every kicking play is an explosive play potentially for the Rams. Kickers have big legs. Obviously, Zuerlein's field goals, no difference in the championship game. Hecker's a tremendous player, great athlete. Is a weapon. They block kicks, they return kicks, and they have a fast coverage team that can change field position. Offensively, there's a lot of backed up situations based on their kicking game where they put you on a long field. So, really, just across the board, a healthy team that's been, especially offensively, started the same line all year, same thing as last year. Had a lot of continuity in what they do and with the guys that are doing it. Very consistent team that kind of, I think everybody looked at them at the beginning of the year and weren't surprised that they're where they are, and nor should they be. They do a really good job.
Well, how unique is Johnny Hecker just with everything that he's had to do?
Yeah, again, he's a weapon on the field. Can change field position, and he's a good situational punter, and obviously he's very athletic, and you have to respect his ability to handle the ball. But the main thing when you're sending your punt return team out there is you want to make sure you get the ball at the end of the play. And that's not always that difficult, but with these guys, it's pretty challenging. So, yeah, but they're, as I said, they're all weapons. Zuerlein's a weapon. Hecker's a weapon. And they do a good job in the return game. So,
Bill, after some of the games we've seen on videotape inside the locker room and even at midfield, guys hugging each other, telling each other they love each other, you and Tom did that to each other. Total respect for it. Where do those bonds get forged? And how important do you think it is to have that connection and trust moving forward and trying to keep it going?
I think when you go through a whole year with other people doing, trying to experience the same thing, which we are, we're all trying to win games and contribute and help the team, then you form a bond with individuals and collectively as a group. So we achieved a very successful moment the other night. I think everybody felt it.
Bill, is it a credit to their offensive line that Gurley was hurt late in the year? They bring in Anderson, he runs just as well. How good is this offensive line of the Rams?
Well, I think, let's say just overall, they collectively as a group, because everything is so integrated with them, again, you can't make yards with one guy blocking. You need them all to block. You need them all to, you need the backs to read the blocks properly. You need the line to sell the play action, to create the opportunities in the play action game. Just say overall, they execute extremely well as a unit on a very, very consistent basis. And, they do a lot of things to give the defense problems, misdirection, and, things that complementary plays, so you're not, they all look the same, but it could be one of two or three things. And so just say the overall execution. They have a good offensive line. They've been together. They don't make many mistakes. But nobody makes many mistakes on this offense. They execute extremely well, and that's a credit to the players and certainly, the coaching staff.
Bill, what attributes do you think are most important in a defensive play caller? Obviously, that was a transition you guys made well from last season to this season. So are there certain qualities that you value that most in your in that role?
Play calling's it's a difficult job. You only have a couple seconds to really make decisions. You have to get it in, and the players have to get it, and they have to execute it. A lot of, there's a lot of preparation that goes into play calling. But then there's certainly a feel and a, let's say, an evolution of every game that is different from every other game. So it's a combination of all those things.
How much did your offense having success late in games have to do with how well conditioned your offensive linemen are? And in general, how has the conditioning for that position changed since the time you came to the game?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, so I can't really speak to how everybody else does it, but you know, everybody has the same opportunity and have to deal with the same 60-minute game. So, but I think just in general, what we try to do is I work very closely with Moses and his staff and the assistant coaches to try to prepare our practices, plan our practices, and prepare our team for the, you know, the physical exertion that we, what the average is, what we have to expect, and then in some cases we have to be ready to go beyond that on individually or collectively as a unit. You know, if we're playing a lot on one side of the ball or the other, or an individual load might change. So we kind of try to monitor those things. I really lean heavily on Moses and his staff on that part of it, on the training part of it, the conditioning, the volume that we do, the intensity that we do, and you know, he's very good at that, and so I really rely on him there. But it's every position. But I think our offensive line is a pretty athletic group. They work hard, they train hard, they all run well, and so, you know, we do conditioning drills. I would say it's always it's good, but it's always a little bit surprising to me how well they run as a group relative to other groups. I mean, they're not that far behind other players, in some cases skill players that are, you know, you think of as faster, but actually those guys, they run pretty well.
Bill, in the playoffs, your pass protection has been pretty effective against two pair of elite edge rushers, Bosa and Ingram, and then Ford and Houston. What adjustments did you make for them, and how do you adjust that to the Rams, where so much of their pressure comes from the middle?
Right. Well, again, every game's different. Every rusher is different, so the matchups are all different. And we'll see how it goes this week, but certainly it's a very – Rams have a very talented group. And I would say, you know, so have the other teams, not just those two guys, but they've had, you know, other guys as well. And you're also challenged at times by the scheme, where they – the games they run or the blitzes and the matchups they create and so forth. So, again, it's not – it's not always cookie cutter, you know, just 5-on-4 and, you know, where everybody is. There's some of that, but then there's a lot of other variations of men that you have to be ready to deal with schematically. So Coach Saranekia and certainly Coach McDaniels do a great job of preparing our players for the situations that we'll face. And sometimes we get new things in the game that we have to adjust to. But we have a pretty experienced group there. Those guys have played a lot of football together, and a lot of times they see things and anticipate things based on their experience, and that's certainly helpful.
Bill, if it's fair to say their offensive system is a branch up of kind of the Shanahan tree, if you will, and maybe it's not, what has Sean done fundamentally to make it his own? What kind of twists are different from other offenses that fall in that same group?
He's got four or five things that are, I would say, pretty specific to their offense, the Rams offense, that I wouldn't say we've never seen them before, but I think the way they do them, they blend well together. They sort of merge into each other and create problems for the defense. So those are the things that you know, I think are the toughest for the defense. They do a lot of things out of one personnel group, and that's, you know, that's an issue. So you kind of have to deal with everything from everything. But Sean's done a really good job of doing what they do, but they blend it together in a way that it's different. It's the same, but it's different. It's hard for the defense to really differentiate or get in the right spot easily. You have to really, you know, work at it, and they don't make it easy for you.
Are there tighter splits among those four or five?
That's definitely that's a key component of the offense. You know, the spacing is absolutely that's. That's one of the trademarks of what they do, and the misdirection. So they're in there close. So there's a lot of misdirection that comes with it. So you definitely have to deal with those. Yeah, no question. But again, it's not all, you know, it's part of what they do, and it's a significant part of what they do, but it's a lot of other things too. So it, again, it all kind of blends together nicely.
Bill, what has Patrick Chung's leadership meant to the Patriots this year? You drafted him back in 2009 and his first year being a captain. How has he grown on and off the field?
Well, we have a lot of players on our team, and Pat's certainly in that group that give us great leadership that aren't necessarily captains. And Pat's done that for years. This year he was selected as a captain, and very deservedly. He's done a great job. But he's given us great leadership year in and year out. For a number of years. So, you know, his experience, his confidence, certainly his versatility. He works with everybody. So he works with the corners, the safeties, the linebackers. Even gets involved with the defensive linemen because of his proximity to the line of scrimmage on a lot of plays. You know, he's involved in the kicking game on really he's played in every phase of the kicking game for us, punt, punt, return, kickoff. Kickoff return is a very dependable player. So, works hard in practice, you know, runs scout team plays, things like that. He's in tremendous condition. He can go all day. He loves to play football. I mean, he's a great influence and role model for all of us, for everybody on the team. Just his passion for football. But he's very competitive, and I think his unselfishness and his effort gives him the opportunity to have great leadership because everybody respects that, and they know he's going to do what's best for the team. He's going to give us his best in every situation. And he has for a number of years. He's very durable, dependable, and he's tough.
Do you think last year's Super Bowl loss the Patriots extra hungry to win this year?
Well, I think, you know, right now, this football team is this football team. It's not anyone. And we're going to do the best we can to perform as well as we can against the Rams. And that's going to be a huge challenge. But it's really just about us right now. Nobody, there's nothing in the past that does or doesn't help us. So we're going to bond together and coach and play as well as we can next Sunday night.
Akili, when you turn on the tape, I mean, how much is it similar to what you saw when he was here?
Yeah, pretty similar.
What has he brought the Rams defense from what you've seen in terms of his play?
Well, he's a very talented player. Peter's on the other side. I mean, they have two great corners. They can match up really against any receiver. Big, fast, quick, savvy, and those guys can cover anybody. They're both very good with their ball skills. As we know, Talib's got great hands, makes some tough catches. If you make a mistake around him, it's not an incompletion. It could be going the other way. So he's a very instinctive guy, as is Peters. And they recognize routes, combinations. They have a real good feel for the pass rush. They know when the quarterbacks can't hold the ball, and they're on their guys, so. They're two great corners, and again, guys that they just don't cover their guy. I mean, you got to worry about them, not just intercepting the ball. You got to worry about them intercepting a run back for a touchdown too.
Bill, that's obviously nerves, and not just for the postseason, but for any game that matters. Do those nerves change at all for the Super Bowl? Or so?
Yeah. Same answer as last week.
Obviously competed against Wade Phillips for a number of years. You know, the personnel is different. But when it comes to this year's defense for him, what are some of the things that they've done that are consistent with what you've seen over the years from Wade?
Well, the scheme's the same. And I think he's changed the scheme. You know, Wade does a great job of utilizing his personnel and putting his players in position to be productive and make plays. So when he had Von Miller, he did things. He didn't change what he did. He just the volume and the percentages shifted to, you know, accentuate a player like that, or Aaron Donald, or you know, whoever it happens to be. So certainly there's an element of game planning, and how he plays one team or another team varies. But it's within the system that he has, and I don't think he's out there, you know, drawing up a lot of new defenses. I think he has a menu, and he selects the ones that fit best against his opponent and the situations as the situations come up in that game. Now, this year they've definitely gone from, you know, a higher percentage of man coverage to a higher percentage of zone coverage here in the second half of the season. But that's been very effective for him. Obviously been productive and a good adjustment. But I'm sure they're capable because of their, they know, I know what they have in their system. They're very capable of doing that or doing something that's also in their system, whether that's, you know, split safety coverages or their quarter-quarter half or man coverage. I mean, they can, you know, easily get to any of those things depending on what, how they want to play it.
Bill, in the last couple of years, defense has kind of trended more towards man coverage, whereas maybe 5-10 years ago might have trended the other direction. Is that mostly based on your own personnel or, I guess, more of the opponents that you're going up against in a given year, or both?
Yeah, I mean, each game's different, so how we approach each game is based on what we think's best for that week. I don't think we necessarily go into the season saying this is what we're going to be, what we're not going to be. I mean, again, we have a system that's has some breadth to it, so, I mean, we know we're going to have to play man, we know we're going to have to play zone, we know we're going to have to blitz, we know we're going to have to, you know, deal with outside runs, inside gap schemes, outside zone scheme, you know, all those things, so. Depending on what they do and how we feel like we match up with that particular team, but have a lot to do with how that particular game goes.
That is Bill Belichick, powered by the Okers Company, New England's premier technology and audiovisual solution provider for over 97 years. Visit OCKERS.com. It's Okers Technology for tomorrow. We're back in the noontime hour as we continue talking about the Patriots and the Rams matchup in the Super Bowl and the possibility of a Tom Brady retirement. You will hear the thoughts that Colin Coward shared on this matter just yesterday. He thinks there's no chance of Brady retiring because the way the league is going. I think there is a chance. We'll talk about that and more coming up in the noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.